Good morning. My name is Jessica Sales. Can y'all hear me? Okay. I'm Jessica Sales, and before I get started, I'd just like to acknowledge my collaborators on this project, Ralph DiClemente, Gina Wingood, Eve Rose, Jennifer Monahan, Jennifer Samp, and Colleen Crittenden. And the majority of us are from Emory University, Rollins School of Public Health, but the two Jennifers are from the University of Georgia, so it makes it easy for us. But I'm going to be talking with you all today about alcohol use and how alcohol use acts as a moderator of HIV prevention intervention efficacy in a sample of African-American female adolescents. I also have nothing to disclose. Okay. So, not surprisingly, it's been thought that alcohol and drug use may impair sexual decision-making, leading to unwanted and unprotected sexual intercourse in adolescents. And research also supports this by showing that high levels of alcohol use has been significantly associated with less condom use and lower condom use self-efficacy across diverse populations, which also include adolescent groups. According to some recent epidemiological data that I'm sure most of you are aware of, one group of adolescents particularly at risk for acquiring an STD are African American females. Traditionally, African American adolescent females have been shown to drink alcohol at lower levels of lower levels than other adolescent groups, but high levels of alcohol consumption within this subpopulation have still been associated with increased sexual risk-taking. And we have little knowledge as of yet how alcohol consumption in this group relates to their sexual behavior, both prior to and after receiving an HIV intervention that's specifically designed and tailored for this young adolescent sample. So we were intent to examine whether alcohol consumption in this population moderated the effect of an HIV risk reduction intervention that they just participated in, moderated the intervention effects on their percent of condom use post-intervention participation at a 12-month follow-up assessment. So this study included 439 African American adolescent females seeking services at an urban publicly funded STD clinic in Atlanta. And these girls had recently participated in an HIV STD prevention program. To be eligible to participate in our program, they were African American, self-identified as African American. They were all female between the ages of 15 and 21 years of age. They were not pregnant at the time of enrollment, and they had to express that they did not have the desire to become pregnant in the 12 months of our program. They were also not married, and they were all recently sexually active and reported sexual activity in the 60 days prior to our intervention. They also all provided informed consent. So data was collected from all of the participants via audio computer-assisted self-interview technology. And in this baseline Acacity assessment, the participants completed this assessment prior to randomization into either the intervention group or the control group. And participants returned 12 months later and took another Acacity interview at this follow-up assessment post-intervention participation. The Acacity interview assessed several things. We assessed socio-demographic information like age, neighborhood status, information about family of origin, things like that, as well as frequency of alcohol use in the past 60 days, which we classified into high and low alcohol use. So our high alcohol use group were participants who endorsed drinking on 3 or more days in the past 60 days. And low alcohol use was drinking 2 or less days in the past 60 days. So you notice the drinking is not that high in the sample. Finally, we assessed recent sexual behaviors, and we measured this as proportion of condom-protected sexual episodes in the past 14 and the past 60 days, and we assessed sexual activity at their baseline assessment as well as in the 12-month follow-up assessment. So the first set of results that I'd like to present here depict the overall effects of our intervention without considering alcohol and how it relates to the impact of this program. And I'd just like to point out that we found significant group differences between our intervention, which is labeled with the I, and the C stands for control group. We found significant differences in the rates of condom-protected sex at 12-month follow-up for the past 14 days prior to and 60 days prior to that 12-month assessment. So our intervention seemed to have an impact on the rate of condom use in, on the girls in the intervention group. Now, looking at some of the things that we target in this intervention, we talk a lot about partner communication skills. How do you negotiate condom use with your partners? How able do you feel that you could get up and talk to your partner about condom use? And then also just general information about their level of HIV and STD knowledge. And again, we see significant impact on our from our intervention on the girls in the intervention group, with girls in the intervention group reporting increased partner communication as well as condom use self-efficacy and HIV knowledge relative to the control group. Okay, so now I'm going to turn to our HIV efficacy results accounting for alcohol use in this sample. We conducted ANCOVAs to explore the possible group, which was intervention versus control, and alcohol use, which we dichotomize in low and high alcohol use, any interactions between these two groups on the percent of condom use at 14 days and 60 days prior to the 12-month follow-up assessment. And we did control for age as well as their baseline rates of condom use in these analyses. Now, this figure here depicts the results of this ANCOVA for the condom use in the 14 days prior to that 12-month assessment, with the red line showing the intervention group and the blue line depicting the control group. So overall, you see a main effect was what we found and what I presented to you earlier, where we found that the participants in the intervention group used condoms more often than the participants in the control group. But we also observed a group by alcohol interaction here, such that low alcohol users' rates of condom-protected sex in the past 14 days mirrored that of our overall intervention efficacy. But when we look at the girls in the high alcohol-using group of this intervention, we found that there were no significant differences in their condom rates between the intervention and the control group. So essentially, the intervention was not effective for the girls who were in this category. Now, this is the same set of analyses, the same graph, but for the 60-day time period. And we see a similar trend here with the in the past 60 days as well, with the same level of effects. So in summary, we observed significant interactions between condition, being the intervention and control, and alcohol use for condom use in the past 14 and 60 days at the 12-month follow-up assessment of this overall effective HIV prevention intervention program specifically designed and tailored for African-American adolescent females. So again, just to recap, specifically the low alcohol users in our intervention group use condoms more consistently than low alcohol users in the control group, but no significant differences in proportion of condom use were observed between the high alcohol users in the intervention group versus the control group at the 12-month time point. So what does all this mean? First, our findings suggest that HIV intervention efficacy was adversely affected by alcohol use, even though the base rates of alcohol use fall well below the norms of other adolescent subgroups in this country. So perhaps in the future it may be beneficial to screen and explore alcohol use in adolescents presenting to STD clinics, which is where we conducted our intervention, as even fairly minimal alcohol consumption was related to condom non-use in this group, even after participating in an intervention specifically designed to increase condom use. also further effective HIV interventions for alcohol African-American adolescent females may require us also directly assessing the important role that alcohol use plays, even small amounts of alcohol, how that relates to sexual behavior, and really bring that to the forefront in some of our interventions, as well as explore how other substance use relates to risky decision making and sexual behavior in adolescent groups. Thank you. Point well taken. Originally, because this wasn't something that we targeted in our intervention, we only originally had three alcohol questions in our survey. We asked about, have you ever tried alcohol, yes or no? Have you had alcohol or consumed alcohol in the last 60 days and the number of days that that occurred? And then we do have a question about when you drink alcohol, how many drinks do you typically drink at a time? And the norm was pretty much one or two drinks. There were a few in the sample who endorsed having three or more drinks, but still it was much lower rates of consumption during those alcohol drinking occasions in this group. We need to investigate, I think, a little bit more the concurrent use of alcohol and other substances possibly, but again, since it wasn't the target of our intervention, we really just didn't do too much in terms of screening or assessing alcohol or drug use.
Answers the question. Our next speaker is Dr. Opu Mbaya.